Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post, NFL writer, and does a fantastic job covering the draft. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of fired up about the Knicks. I'm not going to lie.
They were exciting today.
I know. And now the Rangers. I'm kind of losing my mind. But the draft. Let's start with the Giants. And I one thing that I do find interesting, we're going to talk about what was your favorite pick and some of this stuff. But I do find it interesting that how do you assess that the Giants spent so much time scouting quarterbacks and the owner said his front office told him this was the most talented quarterback class in a long time? So are you surprised that they didn't come away with a quarterback from this draft?
Yes, but I'll caveat that with I like that they didn't force the pick. Like, I think the worst thing you can do, and we've seen it time and time again, and I mean, Dave Gettleman says he didn't do it with Daniel Jones. He said he wasn't full-bloom love or whatnot, but most people would tell you they forced that pick. I think the worst thing you could do is force a quarterback. So if you did all that work, private meetings and workouts and facility visits, and you came away saying, you know what, J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix aren't the guy, well, then that's fine. You made a good decision, except Penix and whatever gets on the field and McCarthy are in great situations to succeed. So there is a possibility they could come back to haunt you. But if they identify Drake May as their guy and they made a very competitive offer of two firsts and a second, according to SI, then and the Patriots didn't take it, then they made their run and they didn't get it. And that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. That's why the fans want you to tank games at the end of the season.
Yep. Yeah, no, I am one of those people that's usually like, no, winning at the end of the season, it's not going to help. You need to be at the top of the draft if you want to take a quarterback. If they couldn't take the quarterback, how did you feel in terms of their first-round draft pick and taking a wide receiver, and in particular taking Malik Nabers? Do you think he is was he the best available player in your mind, and is that a good fit for the football team?
Yes, he was the best available player. Some teams had Nabers ahead of Harrison. My understanding, I reported before the draft, was it was Harrison, Nabers, Odunze for the Giants in terms of the three receivers. Harrison was gone, so they took Nabers, who was the best available player by most teams' accounts. So I think they made, in that regard, I mean, I think they made the right decision there. They have the receiver they've been missing since they traded Odell Beckham. They lost Saquon Barkley. And I have spent hours talking about Saquon Barkley. There's no denying this. He was the offense for the last couple of years. He was the main touchdown scorer playmaker. So it's not going to be Devin Singletary now. It's going to be Malik Nabers. So they have a go-to focal point to build around. So, yeah, he was the right pick. And I'll say this, Lori. Somebody on an exec with another team said it to me this way. If the Giants can't look at it as, was J.J. McCarthy worth the number six pick? They should have looked at it as, do we think he's going to be better than anybody in next year's draft? Because they're going to need a quarterback next year. So if they thought he would have been the number one quarterback in next year's draft, then maybe they should have picked him. And if they thought, no, some two or three of these kids next year could develop with another season and be better than McCarthy, this is a projection. That's what this business is. If they thought, no, McCarthy next year, some of these kids will be better than he is right now, then it's okay to wait and take your shot at him next year.
So that leads to a question about the incumbent quarterback for the New York Giants, Daniel Jones. And there are those people who can interpret this draft and say, oh, well, Daniel Jones was a winner because they did get him a, you know, big-time weapon at wide receiver. I was wondering how you interpreted Giants general manager Joe Shane's comments about Daniel Jones in his post-draft press conference. His actual words certainly said Daniel Jones is our quarterback, but I somehow didn't necessarily walk away feeling, yeah, any major vote of confidence for Daniel Jones by the current regime.
No, there's not a ton of confidence inside the building in Daniel Jones. I think they probably feel very similar about Daniel Jones to when they first got here. Not how they did last year when they gave him the $40 million per year extension, but how they did when they turned down his fifth-year option. Like, okay, this is our quarterback for the next year. He's going to have to go out and prove it. And, like, I think that's right where they're back to 2 years later is, okay, well, we're committed to him for one more year. Let's see how it goes. We couldn't upgrade this year. So, no, I didn't take his comments as, like, a vote of confidence. I didn't take it as like some sort of conspiracy, like as of today, he's our quarterback. Like, oh, maybe there's a trade coming, or maybe they're going to start Drew Lock, or maybe something unexpected. No, Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. I took it more as lamenting, wow, we spent a lot of time on this and we're back in the same position we were. We really didn't expect this. We thought we were going to get a quarterback.
Yeah, and yet if all they liked were the top three guys, I don't know how they could be that surprised, because top three teams in this draft all needed quarterbacks and there was no movement. And so then
I think it got carried away a little bit, Lori, mm-hmm. in the last month, right? Like, I think leaving the combine, you thought, oh, you know what? The Giants could probably trade down to 12 and get Penix or McCarthy, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. forget the combine, maybe even Senior Bowl, they thought, oh, you know what, we could probably trade, get a good play, get Neighbors at 6 and trade up from 47 to like the first pick in the second round and get Penix. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point that's what they were thinking, and that's why they're lamenting it, because in the last month it just, the hype, the quarterbacks get pushed up the board, and I think that it got away from them.
See, do you think Penix might have been their guy in a trade up if there had been a situation like that, as opposed to a Bo Nix or McCarthy,
yeah,
or any of that?
Well, I don't know about McCarthy. It's hard to say. I wrote a lot of times that I thought they liked McCarthy, and I still think that there are people very high up in that building that my information tells me they like J.J. McCarthy. Some I think would have taken him 6. So I do think that at some point along the line, J.J. McCarthy was their guy, maybe on a trade-down situation. If we're talking about second round, the scenario I pitched a minute ago, I think, yeah, Penix. I think they really like both guys. I just don't think Bo Nix was not on their radar, I don't mm-hmm. think, in my opinion, mm-hmm. my reporting-based opinion. But, yes, I think they like McCarthy and Penix. I just don't think they like them at 6.
And when you're talking about there were people in high places who liked, let's say, a McCarthy and, you know, might have pulled the trigger, who ultimately is this, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll? I mean, when it comes down to making the decision, those two guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, everybody gets their input. The assistant, Brandon Brown, Tim McDonald, Dennis Hickey, the scouting director, you know, the areas, they all get to voice their opinions. In the end of the day, the two people who would, you know, whose job's on the line are Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And I think Joe Shane has said a couple times that very few people, even in the room at the end, know what the final board looks like. I'm paraphrasing here, but I want to say he says it's only like 4 or 5 people who know what that board is. So who's making the pick? No more than those 4 or 5 people.
What was, you know, besides Malik Neighbors, who was an extremely talented player and going to have probably the most impact, but besides Neighbors, what was your favorite pick the Giants made?
Newbin. for sure. I think
For those who don't know what that means, that would be their second round pick, Tyler Newbin, the safety.
Correct. Yeah. I think they probably would have preferred a cornerback there, mm-hmm. and cornerbacks went 40, 41, 42, and 43. So they kind of got jumped there, I think, mm-hmm. for what would have been their preference. I don't know if they would have taken one of those guys. I think based on Joe Sheen's strong belief in positional value, cornerback is a more valuable position than safety. Mm-hmm. So I think that he probably was targeting one of those four guys, which includes the Rutgers kid, Max Melton, who mm-hmm. went to the Cardinals. But to pivot to the best safety on the board, an absolute ball hawk, kid that when I called around, people raved about his leadership, said he's game ready right now. I think he'll be a insert plug and play starter. You know, I don't know that they filled Saquon Barkley's shoes, but maybe they filled Xavier McKinney's shoes. I really like the Newbin pick. Some scout I talked to along the way, I said to him, who was the most impressive interview you had during this whole process? I'm not a Giant scout. Mm-hmm. And he said, Tyler Newbin. And this was like 3 weeks ago. So I knew he would be probably a pretty high pick. If he interviewed good with one team, he was going to interview good with a lot.
Any pick for the Giants that made you scratch your head?
Maybe the fourth round pick, Theo Johnson, the tight end. I mean, mm-hmm. he athletically profiles pretty well. He's big. He moves well. He really did nothing at Penn State for 4 years. I think he had 900 something yards receiving over 4 years in his career. All the traits are there. It's just like the production is lacking. And I don't know if tight end is what I would have targeted at the start of the fourth round when there were defensive linemen there. There were offensive linemen there. There were, I can't remember which running, Chipley maybe was there, or there was one running back that I thought, oh, maybe this is where they go at running back. Like, that was the one that left me scratching my head a little bit, because he's supposed to be a pass-catching tight end who didn't catch many passes in college. He's not a blocking tight end. He's a pass-catching tight end with less than 1,000 yards receiving in his college career.
Yeah, Giants obviously banking on the speed, size, athletic traits, and thinking that he'll be somebody that projects better in the pros than he was in college. Time will tell if they were right. We're talking to Ryan Dunleavy from The Post about the NFL draft. I see you, by the way, callers. I will get back to you on Knicks and Rangers in a moment. But turning to the Jets. So how did you feel about how the Jets handled the first round? And, you know, there were obviously, you know, there were people who were thinking Brock Bowers or another weapon or whatever. And the Jets, with a trade back from 10 to 11 with the Vikings, they get a little bit more value there. And then they go for what obviously they believed was the, best available offensive lineman, offensive tackle.
So two things. One, I thought it was absolutely the right pick. Mm-hmm. If you know, Tyron Smith hasn't played a full yep. season since 2015. Morgan Moses, who's usually a durable guy, is coming off of surgery.
They're both into their 30s, too.
And they're both in contract years. Mm-hmm. So even if they stay healthy, they're only one-year solutions. The Jets played something like 16 offensive linemen last year. So they definitely have a little bit of whiplash from, we can't end up in that situation again. So I thought it was absolutely the right pick. And the second point is, I think Joe Douglas deserves a lot of credit for that, because that's a future pick. That's a set your franchise up with a left tackle for years to come pick. Brock Bowers is the immediate help get on the field right now pick. And Joe Douglas, as everyone knows, is in a do or die year for his career. So if he was being selfish, he picks Brock Bowers because he gets to see him play. There's a chance Joe Douglas never even sees Olu Fashanu play. That was a franchise over self-preservation pick. And anytime anybody does that in sports, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I actually love that. I was on a podcast, a Jets podcast interviewed earlier in the week, and I basically called for the Jets to make a move like what they ended up doing. And So, yes, I get your point about it's a pick for the future. But I also think, exactly as you said, with the injury history of Tyron Smith, if you're looking at ways that this Jets team that has a lot of talent, other than the quarterback position, if I say to you, like, how can this season detonate? You know, one of them is injuries to the offensive line. And unless you think Carter Warren can absolutely be the guy, I think if you're a Jets fan, you have to feel better about your team right now. So I really like that pick.
I think that's a terrific point, what you just said. Tyron Smith might be the second most detonatable player on the team. I think that's an excellent point.
And then the other one that I talked about, like what detonates the season. So you have Tyron Smith, and then the other situation to me was wide receiver, where Garrett Wilson gets hurt, and now Mike Williams, I like him as a player, but are you banking on him? Like, and now Alan Lazard is somehow important. Like, they had to get better at wide receiver as well. What did you think of their move and Corley, the wide receiver out of Western Kentucky that they move up to get?
I like Malachi Corley. I think they can, like, just pencil him in as, like, a number two receiver. They need Mike Williams to stay healthy.
Yep.
They need Aaron Rodgers to pull some Lazard magic out from their rapport. I think Malachi Corley can be an impact player in small doses, but Malachi Corley's college career, his average depth of target was 6.5 yards, which is ridiculously short. He basically catches screen passes and runs for yards after the catch, or he takes jet sweeps and handoff. He's
a gadget guy, kind of a gadget guy.
Yes. So, and his big thing is yards after catch. He's a bulldozer. He'll run through tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that'll translate to the NFL. I would think as a rookie, he's not going to be able to run the full route tree. Mm-hmm. I think one of the guys on TV, NFL Network, maybe Jeremiah, said, think of him the way Aaron Rodgers used a young Randall Cobb before he became, you know, best friends or whatever, a young Cobb, like 2012, 13, and maybe that's how they can use Corley early. And, okay, that seems to make sense to me.
Can you share the story for people who aren't aware of it? Jets make an interesting pick with Quantes Stiggers out of the CFL, the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, so fifth-round pick. He actually played in the CFL last year, so he has professional experience,
but never played college. I mean, that's the interesting thing.
Yeah. Never played college football. He was scheduled to go to Lane University in Tennessee to play college football. And then tragedy struck his family. His father passed away, and he did what a lot of guys have to do when that happens. And he became the, breadwinner for his family, mm-hmm. got a job,
yep.
Started supporting his mom and siblings, and basically took 4 years off from football. His mother heard about this thing called the fan-controlled football league a couple years ago, where actual players, fans were calling the plays. So he impressed in that, got an opportunity in the CFL, played a year in the CFL, stood out for his ball skills, and then ended up getting picked here in the NFL draft. He's a guy who can make an immediate impact on special teams. He'll be raw, but he has some ball skills, and he'll bring the hit stick. So he's a guy a lot of teams liked in that 6th, 7th round. The Jets took him a little earlier.
If there's a feel-good story of somebody to root for, I think it is him, and we'll see how that shapes up over the season. Last pick I want to ask you about is, I think I would have expected the Giants maybe to have drafted a quarterback even in the late rounds, somebody that Brian Daboll could have worked with. That doesn't happen, but the Giants only have 6 picks. The Jets, with an interesting move, once they traded Zach Wilson, they go with, we had seen some of these rumors, but it comes true. They draft Jordan Travis, the injured quarterback out of Florida State. What's your thought about him?
So, real quick, I would have hated if the Giants drafted a late round quarterback. They're not the team who can do it. You're just throwing away the pick, like they threw away the Davis Webb or Kyle Auletta picks a couple years ago. Cause when Daniel Jones's number is up, they're going to want a first round franchise quarterback. No team ever hands it off to their mid round pick. What happened to Mason Rudolph? He got jumped by Kenny Pickett. So, it just never happened for the Jets. I love it because Jordan Travis can literally redshirt this year. Like, he doesn't even really have to practice. He can take the whole year to get his leg healthy after a gruesome broken leg in November and learn meetings and learn the NFL way from not just Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever do it on the field, but Tyrod Taylor is maybe the best young quarterback mentor in the last decade in this game. He was there for Baker Mayfield's rookie year, Justin Herbert's rookie year, Davis Mills' rookie year, the last 2 years of Daniel Jones. So Jordan Travis will attach himself to Tyrod Taylor's hip. Tyrod Taylor welcomes that kind of thing. He'll welcome not being pushed for the number two job after what happened to him with Tommy DeVito with the Giants. So I think it's the perfect situation for player, team, and Tyrod Taylor as the mentor.
And finally,
and like you said, Travis, obviously, just to touch on him, is a prospect who would have been drafted much higher, mm-hmm. I think second, third round, if he didn't get that gruesome injury. He's a highly accurate quarterback, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions last year. And I think he won his last 19 college football games.
Yeah, I would have thought of him as a third-round pick until Bo Nix got drafted where he did, in which case, I think, yeah, if he doesn't get injured, Jordan Travis probably would have been a second-round pick in this draft. Last one before I let you go. What did you think about the Jets being in a financial situation where they end up trading John Franklin Myers, and did they get enough back for him? What were your thoughts on that?
Probably not, but once you're in day 3 of the draft, there's not a lot you can get back that's going to be equal value. They end up getting a really late round pick. I mean, I think Denver probably had a good player and a good person for a steal of a price, but there were rumors this was going to have to happen almost as soon as the Jets made the Hassan Reddick trade. They basically, they're all in. They want to win. So they upgraded, from a good player to a very good borderline Pro Bowl player with Reddick, and that, somebody's the odd man out, and it ends up being Franklin Myers just from a salary cap standpoint. The Jets have a ton of dead money, whether it's Langan Tomlinson or Zach Wilson or whatnot, and when you have a ton of dead money, as the Giants had for a couple years, and it forced out a guy like Kevin Zeitler, a good guard, when you have a ton of dead money, it usually forces somebody out, and that was Franklin Myers.
Yeah, I get it, and they did upgrade. I just would have thought for a player of that caliber that they might have been able to get a little bit more back on him from some team. But, as you said, teams knew they had to trade him. Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post does a great job covering the NFL. You should be following him. Ryan, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.